I want to share a few thoughts this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4. And some I will share I intended to, but I believe there's a truth here that God is drawing our hearts to this morning that I believe is specifically for this moment. The text that Pastor Jeremy read earlier, verses 10 and 11, 1 Peter chapter 4, there's a phrase that is found in verse 10. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to just say something briefly to you this morning about the manifold grace of God. Manifold means multifaceted. It is more than what you think it is. It is the grace of God that works in us in all good things. If there is any good thing that takes place in and through us, it is only by God's grace. And it is manifold grace. I'm glad that there is grace for everything that we need. We could talk this morning about God's sustaining grace. Many of you are experiencing that right now as you go through difficult times. And you know that it is only by the grace of God that you are able to make it through. The grace that God speaks to Paul about in Corinthians when he says, "My grace is sufficient for you." God has to often bring us to that place where we understand that part of the manifold grace of God. I want you to know that sometimes you go through difficult times and you go through struggles, and God's only answer, as we saw in our Sunday school class this morning, God's only answer is, "I'm not going to answer your prayer the way you want it. I'm going to give you the grace that you need for it." He said, "My strength is made perfect in your weakness." I'm so grateful for the difficult times and the challenging times that I've been through. Some of you have been through things that I can't even begin to imagine. You have experienced things. And when I say I understand that it's challenging. It doesn't mean that I'm saying I understand and feel what you're going through, because I've not been through what you have been through. But I promise you, based on the Word of God, that God's grace is sufficient for whatever you're experiencing. We have received the grace of God. I'm glad in those moments when we come to the end of ourselves that God gives us that kind of grace. My focus in this text this morning is in the early service, and I want to touch on just for a moment, is the grace for service. God gives to every single one of us a gift to use. He says, as everyone has received the gift. When we get saved, how many of you are glad you're saved this morning? Just say amen. If you said amen, whether you said amen or not, if you're saved, that doesn't make you saved by saying amen. That if you're saved, God has given to you. Every time God speaks in His Word, in Romans chapter 12, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4, and here in this text, He speaks about the gifts, the spiritual gifts that God gives. He says, first of all, that it is the grace of God, it is a gift from God, but He says each time, it is every one of you that has one. So if you're saved this morning, God has given to you a spiritual gift to use for His glory, for the work of His work on this in the church, on this in this world, and He has given that to you to put into use. Every one of us has a gift. Not our natural abilities, though sometimes our natural abilities complement and work together with the spiritual gift, but a specific spiritual gift of grace that was given. I wonder how many of us are hiding that gift of grace. God has given it to us to use for His glory. It is an act of grace that God has given to us. And some people say, "Well, I don't know what my gift is." Start serving, start obeying what you know to obey, and begin to ask God to show you. If you're really interested, you can go to our church website. We have a tool there because we want you to be equipped and empowered to be able to serve God and to do the things that God has called us to do as a church, to carry on the work of the ministry. But you can go to the little menu and drop down to ministries, and there's a tool there, a guide that will help you to answer some questions. And it'll help you begin to understand what your spiritual gift is or where your inclination is and where God may have gifted you. Now, don't get the idea, well, once you have your spiritual gift, there are several things you should avoid. You should avoid looking at other people saying, well, my gift's more important than yours. I have the gift of exhortation. Or I have the gift of discernment, and I discern that my gift's better than yours. On the other hand, there are those who think their gift is not as important. One of the most freeing things that I found in my life was to discover what my spiritual gifting was and how God had uniquely created me, and I was free to not have to be what everybody else thought I ought to be or what I thought everybody else thought I ought to be. I could be who God designed and gifted me to be. So there's something freeing about that. Another thing to be careful about is don't get the idea that's not my spiritual gift, so I don't have to do it. Heard somebody say, well, it's not my spiritual gift to clean toilets, so I'm not going to clean. Let me tell you something. If your toilet's dirty, you clean it whether you got the gift or not. A spiritual gift is really just things that every Christian ought to be doing taken to another level. Some people have the gift of giving, and they can give extraordinary amounts, but every Christian is called to give their tithes and offerings to the work of the Lord and to the needs of others. Every person is called to have faith, but some people have the gift of faith. They take it to an extraordinary level. Some people have the gift of evangelism, of sharing the gospel. But every Christian is called to be a witness. We don't get to say, I don't have to do this because it's not my gift. We just recognize that God has gifted us in that way. And every Christian has one, and every Christian is responsible to develop that gift, to understand that gift, and it takes time, and it's a process. But every one of us has something to do. You are a part of the church. The church is a body, and every member of the body is important and has something to contribute. Paul uses that illustration. You know the illustration where he sort of has the humorous take on it, where if the body parts start talking to each other, and well, I'm not important because the ear says I'm not important because I'm not the nose, and the eye says I'm more important because I see. You know, that's not the case. Just imagine what the church would be like without every member contributing their part to it. Let's say, for example, this morning, and I hesitate to do this illustration because I'm liable to topple off the platform, but let's just say that my body is the church, and let's just say that my left hand decides, you know what, I'm sort of tired. I've worked hard this week. I'm not going to go to church this morning. I'm just going to stay home. I think I might watch on live stream this afternoon when I wake up. For those of you that are watching by live stream, I know you're watching right now. You're not watching this later. And so my left hand decides to stay home. Well, you know, I can still function pretty good. But let's say that the right foot just decides, you know what? You know, it's a beautiful day. Why don't we just head off to the beach? Ooh, I knew that was going to get quiet. The coast, I'm sorry. Baptists don't go to the beach, we go to the coast. And so my right foot decides to stay home. See, I'm already wobbling, and the body's having to compensate. I can still stand, but I'm having to compensate for the part that's not there, that's not participating. Now, it may be staying home from church. It may be not doing anything in the serving God in any way, not edifying the body. If I put my right hand in my pocket, I'll quit talking. So that's a problem. I come from a long line of hand talkers. So I can still get around. Hey, come on, give me a little, that should get some applause right there. I can still move, but if any other body parts take a break, I'm done. You see, every part becomes important. The body, what if one part has to be amputated or taken away? Your body compensates. I believe that God replaces, God puts within the body every part that is necessary for the body to carry out what it's been called to do. Everything that we're called to do as a church, God will provide from within the body those who will help us and enable us to accomplish that. So if God has given to us the task of the Great Commission and sharing the gospel, then He will provide for every one of us to be a part of that. My prayer and my desire is for 100% participation. 100% participation of our church and our regular attenders who are here every week and are nearly every week. 100% participation in worship. To see everybody participating, for everybody taking part. That's one of the beauties of congregational singing. It's not just the leaders up here putting on a performance. It is all of us together worshiping. And sing, lift it. Well, Pastor, I can't really sing. I've stood next to some of you, and you're right. Not many of you, a few. But the Bible says make a joyful noise. When we sing together as a congregation, those of us who can't sing quite as well as those who can sing very well, we sort of get lost in it. And it's not about an individual. It's about the body together. I'm going to throw this off the thing. It's about the body together worshiping the Lord. And so I long to see the day when we're all participating, we're all worshiping. I pray for 100% participation in growth. I want to see every member of this church growing in Christ and becoming like Christ. You see, our task as a church is not for you to be comfortable. Our task is for you to be Christ-like. And that's our goal. And my prayer for you is that you become not better Baptists, but more Christ-like Christians. And that's participation. But I also love to see something that goes along with both of those. And it's an act of worship. And it's also part of our growth. And that is 100% participation in the service of God's work, what we are doing for Christ. And God gives us the grace. He has given us a gift of grace. It is given by grace. It is expressed by grace. We actually use those gifts by the grace of God. He says here that those who speak or those who serve do so with the ability that God has given them. And then it is for the grace toward others. He says, you do this, serve the same one to another. Part of edifying the church is us using those gifts, that grace that God has given to us. That manifold grace of God. And we use it to serve. And it's not just taking a position in the church. It is simply serving where God opens up opportunities. Some serve in ways that you'll never see. I've talked to people just this week who have served within our community and in our state and our region. And most people don't even know. They don't have a title. They don't have a position in the church. But they are serving God. They are serving others and serving God in ways that we won't see. But it's like a building. I spoke about the edifying, the building of the church a couple of weeks ago. And when you look at a building, you see things that are outside. You see the carpet and you see the decorations and you see things that are on the platform. But there are small parts, there are essential parts in this and any building that if you took away those parts that no one sees, that no one praises, that no one says, man, that support really looks beautiful. But if you took them away, the church would be weakened. And there are many people in our church, in our congregation, this church family, that serve and do things that you'll never see. But God is using them to contribute to the strength of the church. To the proclamation of the gospel. We are thinking globally, but we're acting locally. And you may never see it. But do you know that some of the strongest Christians, some of the most faithful servants of God, we will not know till we get to heaven. I believe with all of my heart that one day, I'm just imagining, using my sanctified imagination, somewhat sanctified imagination, the line standing to receive the rewards before the judgment seat of Christ. And there are those who will say, oh, wow, here's D.L. Moody. Here's Billy Graham. Let's move them up to the front. And the people that will be in line in front of them will be some saintly widow that nobody knows. Some faithful teenager and student that served God faithfully with the short life that maybe God gave them before they left this world and they served faithfully. Or some godly deacon that nobody knew, that never tried to make a power play and never tried to run the show, but just simply did the work of a deacon and faithfully served. And they'll be the ones at the front of the line getting the greatest rewards. And nobody's going to know their name, but I'll guarantee you that God knows their name. And that is God's grace through His church, that He doesn't just use the most likely to succeed. He doesn't just use those who have what we consider the greatest gifts. He gives every single one of us a gift, and He empowers us by His grace to use that gift of grace to be grace to others and then to bring glory to Himself. You see down in the end of this verse that God in all things might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Sounds very much like where we started this series in Ephesians chapter 3. unto him that is able to be do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, now and forevermore. The same truth is expressed here. It's for the glory of God. Simply put, the truth of that this text with the grace that is given to us to serve, serving grace, is that we use what God has given us by his grace for his glory. But none of this is possible. Sustaining grace, serving grace, there's many other manifold parts of the grace of God without the saving grace of God. We have sung this morning about the cross. His wounds have paid my ransom. We've sung a praise of the glory of the cross and what Christ has done for us, how he has saved us. But I want you to know this morning that every single one of us can experience the saving grace of God. And there may be someone here, I believe that there are those here this morning that God is speaking to your heart. Maybe you are a longtime church member. Maybe you're a good person. Maybe there's a lot of things that this world would look at you and say, you're okay, you're going to get into heaven. But no one will enter into heaven apart from the grace of God. If you were standing before God right now and he were to ask you the question, why should I let you into my heaven? What would your answer be? Your answer might be, I'm a good person. I've tried to treat everybody right. I've tried to be faithful in church. I've gone to church and I've put offering in the offering plate and I've tried to treat my neighbors well and I was baptized once or I've done some good works. I come from a Christian family. My family are good people. And all of those things may be true, but there is only one answer that God will say, that's the answer. You can enter into my heaven, enter into the joy of your Lord. And that is, I don't deserve to get into your heaven. But because I've placed my faith and trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, the work that he did on the cross, it is by his grace that I can enter into heaven. Amen. I have trusted him as my Savior. It's not of works that I have done, but it's by his grace. That's saving grace. And this morning, if you're thinking of anything else, this is a serious matter. I want to say this as urgently as I know how, because there are some who will walk out of here this morning not knowing Christ. And it burns my heart because I know the urgency of the moment. I know that none of us are guaranteed, and I don't want to try to scare anyone. But let me tell you that the truth of eternity ought to startle our hearts. In fact, this entire passage is rooted in the phrase in verse 7, the end of things is at hand. And it ought to put a fear into our hearts, not a fear of dread and worry, but a fear of, God, I want to make sure that I am ready. I want to make sure that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. So this morning, I want you to know the manifold grace of God. I want you to know about God's sustaining grace. It'll see you through. I want you to know the serving grace that he gives, that we can serve and we can use the gift that he's given. But none of that comes into play apart from his saving grace. So my invitation to you this morning is this. Please, in a moment when we have the invitation, I want to invite you to come and step out. You don't have to come down this aisle. Walking down the aisle will not save you. You can walk up and down this aisle 100 times, and that won't get you into heaven. But you can walk down this aisle, and one of our pastors, or I, or someone will take the word of God and help you understand how you can experience God's saving grace. Because nothing else will get you into heaven. Life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And I believe that God shifted my thinking on this passage and on this verse this morning, specifically for those who are here that are putting their trust in something else. And my plea with you today is receive God's manifold saving grace. That is our hope. That is our trust. Nothing else is worth trusting in. I want to ask you to bow your heads this morning. In this invitation, if you're saved and God is speaking to you about serving, about putting your gift to use and using it for God's glory, the altar is open and I welcome you to come. Maybe you're experiencing a need for God's grace in your life and you just need to come and say, God, I desperately need your grace. I need grace for this moment. But I want to ask you to do this morning. If you're here and never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come. Step out from where you are. We'll give you the time. We're not going to point you out or embarrass you. We just want to talk with you about what the Bible says about how you can know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Please do not leave here today without being certain that you have experienced saving grace. Father, speak to our hearts this morning. We put this invitation in your hands. I pray for those that you are convicting even now. And I pray that they will respond. Lord, use us as a church to be a demonstration of your manifold grace. We pray this and ask.